Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Tuesday night on basketball, SEC basketball. How about that? Chris Beard and a couple of players made their rounds today. They had to sit next to Paul Feinbaum and talk about basketball with him, so I'm sure that was an enjoyable experience. But no, basketball season almost here. And so that they made their rounds during the radio show today, so I did not get to watch a second of what Chris Beard and company had to say. So I will do that tonight and tomorrow. If there's anything interesting that came up, we will talk about that together. But in the meantime, we're here to talk Ole Miss football. And more specifically, can they turn their season around? They enter the bye week with two losses, despite what one listener in particular on one of our radio listeners did not like that yesterday I said that Ole Miss has underachieved to this point. Didn't like that. In fact, said that it was another bad take on my part. That's what he said. When I say that to this point, the team has underachieved. They have. Entering the bye week with two losses is, there's no other way to describe it. Can they turn it around? I think they can. Will they? That's another conversation. But got a couple of reasons why I think that they certainly can. And we'll get to your comments as well on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Again, I am glad that you are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that stuff to the video as well. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you're a small business owner, or you have been personally injured, or you maybe have a contract dispute, I've got the person for you. And even if you don't need him today, you don't want to be left out in the cold when a legal situation comes up and you don't know where to turn. Here's where you turn. The Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, he's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere in the state of Mississippi. So again, for any small business issues, contract disputes, personal injury, he's got you covered. His phone number, 662-397-9799. Save that number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. So can Ole Miss turn this season around? I was accused also of being too negative. So I'm going to try to bring some positive spin for you, because I know the last couple of podcasts were especially bad. And obviously Monday and today, to some degrees, radio show, we're not exactly glowing reviews of Ole Miss's 5-2 start. But the thing that we have talked about the most throughout their two losses is self-inflicted things, right? It is inopportune turnovers. In the Kentucky game, Trey Harris fumbles when they are kind of on their way in to score. They're moving the football, and he fumbles, and I mean, if he doesn't there, maybe the ball game's different. So missed field goal at the end of the Kentucky game, although that's not particularly fair, but still. You had a quarterback that could not complete a vertical pass. You had penalties. You gave up long fourth downs or third and longs, missed opportunities, self-inflicted wounds in the Kentucky and in the LSU game. But same thing happened as we laid out after Baton Rouge as well. Missed field goal, bad turnover deep in your own territory as time is expiring in the first half, gifting LSU 3 points. You had a third down conversion in the red zone that got called back because of a holding penalty behind the play. It set quarterback. Now, Lane Kiffin in his press conference talked about how the decision on Dart's interception wasn't as bad when you look at it on film. But still, you had a bad interception. You had missed tackles. Ulysses Bentley finally getting in the game, but still, at least to me, not giving him the ball enough. You had bad offensive line play, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of what we've talked about, the penalties, the mistakes, they are correctable things. Now, the offensive line may be a different story. Lane Kiffin talked yesterday specifically about making some changes on the offensive line. I'm curious to know what that will be, if it's personnel, if it's schematic adjustments. You know, they've got the off week to kind of figure that out. But so maybe that's a different story. But I do think that a lot of what they've done poorly are things that are correctable things, are not simply based on they don't have the right players. Jackson Dart is struggling at the moment. We talked about him pressing. Lane Kiffin kind of confirmed that that is what's going on. He's trying to do too much, is what Kiffin said. Feels like he's trying to win the game with every throw instead of taking what the defense has given him. You guys have all seen the screenshot by now of the interception where there's a wide open Caden Prescorn just to step in from the sidelines, really. So you've seen Jackson Dart play better than he has played. Absolutely. You can commit fewer penalties. You can avoid. I mean, honestly, if they don't fumble on their way down in both the Kentucky game and the LSU game, I think they win. So you can protect the football better. Things like that. I think they can coach better. You can give Ulysses Bentley more carries. A lot of things that they are doing poorly are self-inflicted things. And those are correctable things. I can't tell you why the offense is struggling. I'm certainly not smart enough football-wise to know, like, schematically where they're screwing up. But I do know that that coach and that quarterback and those weapons have produced far better than they have this season. And if anybody can figure out how to alleviate issues on the offensive line and get creative and establish a better offense, it is Lane Kiffin. So they have underachieved. They have played poorly at times. They have been sloppy. They have been undisciplined. But the beauty of the 12-team playoff allows them to still have meaningful football in front of them. There is no more margin for error. But because of the nature of the losses, it tells you that they are not far off. Now, right now, they're not a great team. They're a very talented team, not a great team. You can barely call them a good one. But the difference between the two losses and winning those games are things that they did themselves poorly. And those things, most of them, are correctable things that don't require new players to fix. So if you're looking for some positive spin, there you go. They absolutely can turn their season around. They are very close. They are very close to being undefeated. Frankly, they straight up should be at this point. And we would be having a totally different conversation about the rest of the season. They're not undefeated. They harmed themselves too much. But how many obvious touchdown passes is Trey Harris going to drop? Very few. How long is a Lane Kiffin coached offense going to be poor? I don't think very long. Ulysses Bentley is going to get more carries, I believe. Little things like that. If they clean it up, they can win every single one of their games remaining. If they don't, well, you already have seen what happens if they don't. But I certainly believe that they can do it. We'll see if they actually do. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. For all of your Mississippi office technology needs, tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank, as always, makes you their priority. Here we go. I'll start by answering the show's question. Yes, they can turn around their season. The roster is capable, but I'm not going to sit here and say they will. Very fair. Just an I hope. Understand that. Can Florida afford to give Kiffin a Jimbo Fisher kind of contract? I don't know the answer to that. We had a radio listener ask about a USA Today article today and asked if the rumors were true that was written in the article. that's not what the article was about. Yes, when Florida makes a change, they are going to target Lane Kiffin. Can they afford that? I don't know. Can they get to $12 million a year on a six-year deal? I don't know. Institutionally, they're kind of a mess right now. But the premise of the article was, well, what if Lane says no? Where should they go? That was the premise of it. I am still not going to waste any time talking about a job that is not open yet. Florida, I've been telling you this, you guys, this for a while, and it's true, and it bears repeating. Florida does not want to fire Billy Napier. They don't want to do it. That doesn't mean they won't do it, but institutionally, they don't want to do it. They want him to continue as their coach. There's a lot of chaos and turmoil. Regardless of what fans on message boards say, they don't want to fire him. They want to beat Kentucky this weekend. That's what they would prefer to happen, because there's a real chance that they get said no to a lot. And there's a real chance institutionally, with an interim president and all the crap that they've got going on, that they're not positioned very well to go make one of those big time hires. And so I'm just not going to talk about that thing until it happens and until his name is connected to it, like formally, and until he is asked about it and comments on it. I'm not going to do that. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of breath. There are no rumors like our the texter was like, can you comment on the Kiffin rumors? What rumors? Where is it coming from? No reputable media outlet is talking about anything real when it comes to that job, because the job's not open yet. So I'm just not going to do it. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. Until things start happening, there's no point of talking about it to me. I don't want to waste your time. Callie Priestcorn commented on the Ole Miss post and said something about, I hope 86 gets more receptions than last game. Something like that. What's going on there? I need to be enlightened. I mean, look, what's going on there is a wife that wants to see her husband get opportunities that she thinks he deserves. Frankly, her sentiment is shared by the overwhelming majority of the fan base. The tight end usage or lack thereof from Ole Miss is mystifying. Maybe every opponent they play is taking that away, but I mean, I've just seen Lane Kiffin offenses be so good with the tight end, and they've got a really good one. They've got a duo of really good tight ends, and they have just not been a part of the offense, in part maybe because the quarterback is not finding them. I don't know why it's not happening, but they've got a really good tight end, and it just doesn't feel like he gets targeted enough. I don't know why. If I were advising her, I would tell her to stop. Nothing good comes from that at all. Social media, and I fall into that trap as well. I spend too much time on it. The only thing that it can do is really expose us. Again, myself included, I have been dumb on Twitter. I will be dumb on Twitter again, and I shouldn't. I think that what she's doing is not going to accomplish anything. But I do understand the perspective of, you know, she loves her husband and she wants him to get the ball more because she thinks he deserves it. And he does deserve it. That shouldn't be being commented on Ole Miss football's Instagram page. Just nothing good comes from that. Just don't do it anymore. Just like Lane Kiffin doesn't need to be posting pictures of alligators. You're trolling your own fan base, and that fan base right now spent a lot of money on your roster that you're underachieving with. That needs to stop too. Basketball is looking exciting in Mississippi this season. I feel like the range for this Ole Miss team could vary a lot, but the ceiling could be pretty high. I think the ceiling is very high. And yeah, the league is a bear. I mean, 9 teams ranked, and one of them was not Mississippi State. Who's going to – I know you guys don't like hearing stuff about State, but they're going to be very good. They portaled well. A couple of really exciting players back, including Josh Hubbard. I mean, there's a lot to like about Chris James' team this year, and they weren't one of the 9 teams ranked. It's a very deep in competitive league for sure. I mean, they might break a record in NCAA tournament bids this year. So there's going to be some volatility in terms of order of finish. But yeah, I mean, I really like a lot of the pieces they have. I'm concerned or curious about their ability to rebound. I mean, they don't have a pair of 7-footers anymore, but those are the two worst rebounders on the team last year. So, but I do think they're going to have really high level guard play for sure. People are really excited about this team, and they should be. The season can't be a let's pay attention to certain games more perspective anymore. It's literally a one game season every week. I think a 10-2 Ole Miss still gets in the playoff. I think absolutely there is no doubt at all that a 10-2 Ole Miss team will make the playoff. Everybody around college football is eating their own. And I keep referencing texters on the radio audience, but I think the feedback is really good. Because hey, now we're talking about this, Sam, and he said, well, how can you be sure that a 10-2 Ole Miss team would make the playoff? Isn't strength of schedule a thing? Well, yeah, it is. And their strength of schedule is quite good. I mean, it will be by season's end in the top 25 in college football, and there won't be 24 teams ahead of them with an equal or better record. Just because they have a schedule that is weak when it comes to other SEC schedules doesn't mean that every other conference has stronger ones too. There is nobody in the Big 12 that plays a tougher schedule than Ole Miss. There's nobody in the ACC that plays a tougher schedule than Ole Miss. I mean, you could argue Clemson because they have Georgia and South Carolina, but Ole Miss beat South Carolina by 4 scores. So that phenomenon really doesn't exist. And so if they get to 10 with how everything else has gone on around them, they'll make the playoff. And that 10, by the way, will include a win over Georgia. The resume will be absolutely fine. I mean, that will be a win at South Carolina, a win over Georgia, a win at South Carolina, a win at Arkansas, and a win at Florida. Like, regardless of what those teams are, that is a resume that other conferences can't produce. So, yes, they will get in. You don't think they're good enough along the offensive line to do it? Jaden Williams or not, they have serious issues that destroy the entire offense. Had they been 6-1 or 7-0, it could be masked longer. I do think there are things that they could do to help the offensive line. Maybe they're trying to do them and it's still not working, but in part, I think Jackson's holding onto the ball too long. And also, it seems like they're, from my perspective, which whatever that may be worth to you, it feels like they're calling too many long developing pass plays as well. There's a lot of things that they could do better. I am curious to hear what Kiffin or see what they're doing, because he talked about changes on the offensive line. I mean, didn't Kaleppo look better at right tackle against South Carolina than the current holding machine that they've got there? So we'll see. Things are going to be different on the offensive line. Is it schematic? Is it personnel? We'll see, but it's coming. Do I think they're better off without Lane? Ole Miss is way more attractive now. He's done a lot for us, but what if we move on and get someone better? I don't think better off would be the way I would describe it. I mean, he won 11 games for the first time in program history. He's done phenomenal things at Ole Miss. I don't think that they are better off without him. I do think that there are coaches out there that would be more process oriented, but do they have the ceiling that Kiffin has? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, he's done great, phenomenal, outstanding things at Ole Miss. The start of this season has not gone well, but I mean, up until week 5 of year 4, basically everything has gone awesomely. You had the weird few weeks in 2022 with the Auburn deal, and that was he handled that poorly. But the program is it has shown college football what Ole Miss can be and what they're financially capable of and what their talent acquisition they're capable of, and all that's a credit to him. If they don't make the playoff, if they lose 3 or 4 games and Florida comes calling, do you bump the coach that underachieved that badly relative to what the expectations were? D- Do you bump him up to $12 million a year to keep him away from Florida? I don't know, but that's not a conversation that we need to have beyond this right now. Season's got to – we got to figure out what they are first and how what happens. But, no, I don't think they're better off. They could be. They can be. I don't think he's the best coach in college football. But bird in the hand, two in the bush, all that stuff. With your rational hat on, we've lost two games by 3 points. The coach of your football team in Australia always emphasizes that life is never as good or as bad as you think it is. Same thing. I tell myself that with this all the time. Some days I feel like I have really bad days. I think last Friday I thought was a really bad show on my part. And I drove home just reminding myself that it's not near as bad as I think it is. And it's not as good as you think it is either. I tell myself that all the time, Michael, all the time. You're completely against any idea of wanting Kiffin to move on. He's still one of the best coaches in the sport. I agree. What do I think about the Oregon landing call for 12 men? I think it's brilliant. It is brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. And it's already going to get changed. But good on him for exploiting the rule. Wish they were playing Oklahoma this week. Having 2 weeks to sit on this LSU loss is not ideal. And yeah, and I agree with you. I think that they'll beat Oklahoma. And I think that there's a chance that they come out and they beat Oklahoma soundly. You can make an argument that a turnover-free Arkansas is better than LSU. Oh, gosh. I love you calling to death. I appreciate you. I'm not going to talk about replacement candidates because, frankly, I don't think he's leaving. So I'm not going to talk about that until the time comes to actually do so. Think they're going to get some help this weekend. Think the loser of Bama, Tennessee, especially if it's Tennessee, will not make the playoff. I agree because they will have absolutely another loss coming. They are both of those teams are regressing pretty poorly. Personally, you're taking Alabama. I am too. There's a chance in 4 weeks we enter the week with a 7-2 Georgia going to 7-2 Ole Miss. That could be a fascinating game that has different ramifications than we originally expected. Different, but the same. You know, different, but very much still the same. The records won't look like what we thought they would, but it will still be you win that game and you're going to make the playoff. Your hotel booking for the playoff game in Oxford might have to be used for a game next year. Yes, you cannot cancel, but you can transfer the booking date. I would go ahead and I wouldn't go ahead and do that. Hang on to that thing for as long as you can. Florida could realistically beat Kentucky. I think they will beat Kentucky. Pull off one minor upset and beat a hapless Florida State to backdoor to 6-6. Do they keep Napier in that scenario? I think that answer is yes. We're going to learn what kind of culture this team has when they play Oklahoma. It's a very good way to describe it. You're only going to look at the title and say the following. The season is over. There's another loss coming. Top 10 finish is best possible outcome. This team is good. The staff is not. Well, a top 10 finish would make the playoff. It would. I think that another loss is coming. I do. But I'm not going to, you know, until it happens, I'm not going to join in on the season is over thing. The Key Lawrence reporting, of course, had people thinking the players were jumping ship after the LSU loss. Reporting without proper context, of course, leads to reactions like this. Yes. Yes, it does. Does a 9-3 team make the playoff? It is certainly possible. I don't know. I mean, the Big 12 is... they have like a bunch of teams that will have 10 wins, it looks like, or certainly can anyway. They're this year, it feels less likely than some other years. Let's play out the following scenario where there's 7-3 or 6-4 following Georgia. Does a team play it out, or does the team play it out to finish the season? Then the starters opt out. We know contracts are tied to playing in games. I don't know. I imagine that a few players would. I do think that. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys are in draft years, essentially, or contract years, if you will. And so they've got to keep playing to earn the money that they're currently making. But quitting on your team during the regular season will harm draft stock. So that would be a bad decision on their part if they're able to do that. And yeah, I agree. Texas looks right now like the only team in the SEC that is in that elite. Like they look like they're an elite football team. Everybody else is deeply flawed. Austin, thank you. Thank you so much for your super chat, man. I really, really, really appreciate that. Much love to you as always, brother. Thank you, man. I really appreciate that more than you know. If you had to predict what the football program at Ole Miss looks like come 7 weeks from now, what do you think? Ooh, okay. I think 7 weeks from now, they will have finished the season 9-3. And there will be a lot of debate amongst Ole Miss fans and boosters about how much money they are willing to dump right back in to the program. There's going to be more resistance than there was in years past, I think. I think that Florida will come open, and I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think that Lane Kiffin will be the next head coach at Florida. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I don't think that'll be the case. And they'll kind of have to go back to the drawing board and rebuild a roster because of the volume of players that are leaving. And it's going to be a little bit more difficult, I think, this time around, because there won't be such an all-in, shut up and take my money mood from the fan base. So, you know, they'll go to a Florida Bowl and a lot of players won't play in it, and they'll have to rebuild with the possibility of having less money to do it. Oklahoma season could be teetering coming to Oxford. It's no given we get a very motivated Sooner squad. No kidding. If Dart's play doesn't improve, any chance we see meaningful snaps for Simmons? I do not think that unless Dart is injured, he's going to get benched. Do not think that. Pettis is a complete liability. He's just is too grabby. He just holds too much, and it gets called too easily. And oftentimes, the one that I referenced earlier happened really kind of behind the play. Here's the thing you don't understand about the sudden Kiffin hate. He's undeniably the best coach we've had since Johnny Vaught. So I think some of that, I mean, it comes from the fact that people spent all offseason believing that this team was a championship caliber team because they were told that they were by media idiots like me, but more importantly, from people within the program. They were told that that's what they were going to be and that they haven't been. And on top of that, they haven't been when their best running back has not been played. And the reason why has been BS. I mean, they were completely, I mean, is lied to the right phrase, gaslit, whatever it is, around Ulysses Bentley not playing. They get trolled on Twitter with gator pictures before a loss. I mean, stuff like that paired with a lot of people are financially invested in this football team. So it's a lot of things that are building that. I think deep down people don't hate Lane Kiffin. They're mad that this football team has lost a couple of games and seemingly they should not have. I mean, I would be willing to bet that although Brian Kelly wouldn't trade his quarterback, he would trade his roster as a whole for Ole Misses, and Mark Stoops sure as hell would do that. They've lost to teams that they're more talented than. They've lost two games that they gave away, and their coach is trolling with gator pictures on Twitter. They're not playing the right running back. I mean, it's just all of that at once is creating more angst than you're used to. Kiffin, the coach and personality, fits Ole Miss as well as any coach in the country. I agree. Some of the social media aside, it's a great match, and they've had almost nothing but success. Yeah. Somebody says, nope, they will not beat Oklahoma, but you don't understand Oklahoma yet. Okay. Well, enlighten me. Help me understand Oklahoma. Because what I see is a team that's pretty solid defensively, and they can't move the football on Madison Central High School. So please enlighten me. We have not mentioned it yet, but Alabama is one of the teams in the SEC having a lot of distraught in the fan base on and off the field. Bad look in Tuscaloosa. The greatest coach of all time is not there anymore. You know, it's funny. We talked about this on the radio show last week. You never want to hear an LSU fan say that they don't consider Ole Miss a big rival. You're just so tired of hearing that from a fan base who's rushed the field three times against us in 10 years. Yep. Yep. They certainly have done that. If you had to guess, you'd say 8-4. They come out and handle Oklahoma and look better. You'll bump it to 9-3. Again, it's a week-by-week thing. Absolutely. A 9-3 Georgia could get in. They could. They could. Let's say they lose to Texas and Ole Miss, but beat a high-ranked Tennessee team. A&M is a wild card playoff team we aren't talking enough about. That's a really good one. That's a really good one. Ryan comes back with, and y'all don't understand Texas either. Well, Ryan, I'll tell you what, brother. You start a podcast, and I'll listen to it, and you tell me everything that we don't know about Oklahoma and Texas, and I would love to hear it. So go for it, man. How awkward would it be for a 9-3 Ole Miss team missing a ton of guys to somehow win a bowl game and get to 10 wins? I don't think that'll matter at all. I don't think, nobody will care at that point if they miss the playoff. That Kentucky loss will haunt the fan base for generations if this goes sideways. Exactly. See, I mean, it's not that they lost two games. It's they lost at home to a Kentucky team that is, man, they're not good. They've got a good front six, but that's not a good football team at all. They're not. You didn't think you'd say this in the preseason, but you take Garrett Nussmeier over Dart, although he does flop a lot. Dart isn't bad. You just don't think he's confident in anyone not named Trey Harris. I think it's pressing. I think he's just simply pressing. Trying to do too much. And in trying to do too much, mistakes start compounding. Probably in his head. I think his post-game press conference was really telling. I think that was a clear indication of a guy that's in his own head. I mean, because that was just an emotion. That was not. It wasn't a good look, frankly. It wasn't a good look. And I understand, you know, he's emotional after a loss, whatever. But that wasn't it. And hopefully the bye week can kind of get him right and relax him a little bit and dump the ball off to your tight end when there's nobody within 15 yards of him. Stuff like that. Part of the negativity around Kiffin is, in your opinion, his lack of apparent honesty and willingness to be transparent about the program. It's so much just about the running back position and just straight up lying about why that was. Just a very bizarre decision to not play him, and then the answers about why they're not playing him is just it was a miscalculation, clearly. No, Haydad has not done the State Can Win the Egg Bowl thing yet, very much anyway. They can turn it around, but don't have the track record of doing so. Soul Season has turned into an episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not. You still believe this team will win the whole thing? I wish I shared your optimism about other things in life. The LSU fan is back in the chat. Cold out here. Yeah, I appreciate you. Oh, speaking of, your Saints avatar reminded me. We will not be live on Thursday. I will do a recorded video. It will not be live because the freaking Saints have to play on Thursday night. So I'm going to force myself to watch that garbage. Man, I am mad at myself for adopting them when I did. I am even madder that I am forcing my child to be a Saints fan too. I'm not forcing him, but I'm indoctrinating him into the Saints fandom, and I just feel so bad. I feel so bad about that. I should not be doing that to him. The Kentucky loss is this team's version of 2009 South Carolina or 15 Arkansas. I disagree with the South Carolina thing. At least that was on the road. Very disappointed in Dart not being anything close to a Heisman candidate. Has definitely taken a step back. Can we mention how Vandy is on a tear right now? They might be favorites over Reverend Hugh. They are two plays away from 6-0. Two plays away from 6-0. They should be 6-0. Missed field goal, should have beat Missouri, and then they gave up a long touchdown pass in a loss to Georgia State, of all things. But Saints may be bad, but the Titans make that look like child's play. How about Will Levis putting a ball boy in the hospital? Yeah. Yeah, that's man, they have done such a bad job with that position over the last few years. My goodness. Too many winnable games left. Georgia is the game. They put it all together and win. Don't watch the Saints go live. They're trash this year. Oh, man. What are the odds we see something change in the offense? I think pretty significant. They can't continue on like this. Listen to Lane's press conference closely. I think that he's acknowledging that, I mean, they're not going to just blow up the offense and start running the triple option, but that they are going to have to do some things differently. Saints fan indoctrination. I hope you're giving him hand grenades at the corner. He's five, or about to be. Would be in favor of the Titans moving on from Levis after this year. They need to draft one. Or they can take Derek Carr. Could you imagine if Louisiana Monroe beats Auburn in a few weeks? Neil McCready would die of happiness. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. I don't think that that's possible. I do think that there's just such a talent gap, but you probably said that about New Mexico State last year. The Saints could have something in Rattler, Derek Carr stuck in Kirk Cousins' purgatory. I think that Carr has been better than Saints fans have said that he is. I mean, people are not looking at him objectively. But at this point, just play Rattler. I mean, he's got a higher ceiling. What they need to do is get rid of Dennis Allen ASAP. But anyway, if Georgia goes 9-3 and Ole Miss goes 10-2, will they make the playoffs? It depends on what else is going on around them. But a 10-2 Ole Miss with a win over Georgia, yes, makes the playoff over Georgia. Carr really is a good person. He is. He catches a lot of grief, and I don't think it's all deserved. Can Ole Miss turn it around? No, they must. That's an interesting way to put it. If Auburn misses a bowl game, you can't wait to see the reaction. They're going to miss a bowl game, so. How about the Cowboys? What a disaster. Yeah, Jerry Jones threatening the jobs of radio hosts that dare ask him questions about why his team is bad. What a loser. What a loser. Is the 24 college football season comparable to the 07 season as far as crazy it's been? I think it might be better. I think it might be better. Just because there are more games that mean more when it comes to the playoff and the postseason. And I know there wasn't a playoff in 07, but you see the momentum built back up as long as Ole Miss gets a W against Oklahoma and at Arkansas. Yeah, that will make the Georgia game huge, absolutely huge again. But, man, winning at Arkansas is going to be tough. What's good for Ole Miss is their front six is very, 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 very good. It is very good. and that will keep them in a lot of games. I mean, that will keep Arkansas. I mean, they can make Arkansas's offense struggle because their front six is very good. Anyway, you guys are the best. I got to run. I've got a lot to do tonight, but thank you so much for tuning in. Again, we will not be live on Thursday, but I will have something done for you guys. Just not live because the freaking Saints. So anyway, like the video, all that stuff. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And I will see you on the next one. Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.